Picture a standard steel shipping container, rectangular, 40 feet long. The paint is faded with white lettering, often the name of a foreign company. They travel across the oceans, and then you'll see them on the interstate as truck trailers or on the railroad serving as boxcars. It's been estimated there are 16 million of these metal warehouses moving around the world. And if you're looking to smuggle something or someone or to cause harm, the containers offer quite an opportunity. NPR's Noah Adams reports on security concerns at the Southern California ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles.
In October, a mega ship arrived and tied up at the dock at Long Beach. It was the biggest container ship they'd ever seen. Brand new, built in South Korea, it cost $120 million. This is the MSC Texas. It came from China and came fast. This crossing was only 10 days, opening a regular ferry route from China to California. On board the Texas, more than 4,000 containers, stacked like giant Lego blocks in her cargo bays and on deck.
Yeah, you read about it in the paper all the time, they're bringing in bigger ships.
To a longshoreman, bigger ship or not, the work is the same. The giant cranes on the dock sit sideways to the vessel, reaching out, each bringing back one container at a time, to be loaded on a truck trailer. But the mega ship numbers change the security equation. This vessel is 1,095 feet long, a container city with tiny alleys running through skyscraper blocks. The captain of the Texas, George Shirk, says port security, back in the Far East, is much tighter now, and he runs regular security checks at sea, but he can't be positive about what's on his ship.
Only 24 people. You see the size of the vessel. You cannot really search the ship into the last corner. That is not possible. No?
A new homeland security measure involves Captain Shirk's officers and crew. In the past, a shipping company could get visas for its crew by submitting a list. Now each crewman must show up at a U.S. embassy or consular office in person to make the application. And biographical information is sent to U.S. Customs and Border Protection 96 hours before the ship reaches harbor.
De La Serna, first time in the United States?
Plenty times.
Another change since 9/11, Customs wants to know before departure who is shipping what and in which container. Steve Hare of Primary Freight Services explains this. His company brings in a wide range of cargo, including chemicals from China.
We have a new, what we call automated manifest system. So the cargo is actually identified on the other side, and we, as part of that, file the manifest before it goes on the vessel. And if it's not something that syncs up, no go, it's red-lighted.
James Leslie, a U.S. Customs and Border Protection supervisor, says you can't inspect every container, but you can do some intensive profiling.
We do a risk assessment. Where are the containers coming from? Where are they loaded? Is it JCPenney's? Is it May Company? Now you can eliminate some of those containers. Now maybe you're looking at a smaller portion. Focusing on the probability of detecting a material that could be used for weapons of mass destruction or chemical or biological weapons.
These folks will take some years to make sure they have a successful operation. They will game out that population of companies that are viewed as low risk.
Stephen Flynn is a retired Coast Guard commander, now a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he takes an entirely different position. He believes that terrorists would indeed try to infiltrate the operation of a well-known shipper.
It's not rocket science. They probably have names like Walmart or IBM or General Motors, who are celebrated low-risk members of the global supply chains that bring stuff to us here.
When Customs and Border Protection officers get suspicious about a particular container, they can have it set aside on the dock and lined up with others for examination by an X-ray truck. Officer Matthew Schoen is, in effect, looking through the steel walls.
The gamma ray scanner reads density. It's an X-ray, and what we're looking for is dense objects that don't belong in this container. It's metal roofing, so made of aluminum, so it will be sort of dense, and we can kind of see that there's looks like shingles, not shingles, but roofing slabs there.
The truck doing the scanning has a long boom with a cobalt source at the end. The driver moves the vehicle slowly along the side of the container. Officer Schoen sits in the back at his computer.
This is MSC Texas right here. What was the commodity on here?
213 cartons of wooden furniture, 2 bills of lading from China.
You know, my process starts before on the outside. I'm looking if anything was compromised. Furniture is going to be very light. This blob right here, something I usually don't see in furniture. My concern would be more that it could be narcotics than any weapons of mass destruction or anything like that.
Usually, a suspicious shading turns out to be ordinary cargo. For a closer look, the containers can be opened right on the dock or unpacked later in a warehouse. Container scanning goes on 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. The crews trade jobs to keep fresh eyes on the screens.
We've got actually a shipment of mannequins that came in, and you can tell what the shapes of the heads, you know, bodies. You'd definitely be able to tell that there's people in there.
I bet your heart rate went up when you saw the mannequins, right?
Yeah.
We have had stowaways or illegal aliens in these containers. The last one we had was in February, and there were 19 inside of a container for almost 10 days. It becomes a biohazard incident.
Eileen Silveras is assistant port director. Los Angeles and Long Beach, before 9/11, had one of these million-dollar trucks. Now they have five. They also check selected containers for radiation. The U.S. Coast Guard station here now has a maritime safety and security team with divers and a fast boat to respond to threats of terrorism. And in August, the Port of Los Angeles ran a dirty bomb exercise, simulating the explosion of a container and thousands of deaths and injuries from radiation. Stephen Flynn, the former Coast Guard commander we heard from earlier, has been concerned about just that possibility since before 9/11.
I actually had written a piece for Foreign Affairs, a November-December issue of 2000, about a guy named Osama bin Laden likely exploding our transportation system as a way to bring his warfare to the United States. The scenario that I used in that piece was him using a container that may originate from Karachi, Pakistan, and move through the system.
Flynn says that for $3,000 to $5,000, you can contract for a 40-foot container to be delivered to your home or workplace, fill it up with 32 tons of material, and then, as he puts it, it's off to the races. Noah Adams, NPR News, Los Angeles.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.